Bezer Shem Yisboch, we begin in Perek Shvi, the 7th chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Brachos and Laws of Blessing, the Sefer HaBook of Love, which in this paper we discuss regarding the customs that apply in a meal. As Rambam gives a lacha alf regarding the honor that's first in the opening up of the meal. Min Hoges Rabbis, there are many customs, Nogu Chachmi Yisrael Basuda, that the sages of the Jewish people have created a habit in the meals, V'kul Derech Eretz, and they're all ways of appropriate etiquette and conduct. Ve'lehen, and there as follows. When they go in to have the meal, Hagadol Shabakulon, the greatest of them all, he washes his hands first, and then they enter and they sit to recline for the meal that they're going to have. And the one who reclines at the head is the greatest of them. And the one second to him is Lamata Emenu, is beneath him, meaning they used to recline on these couches, so at the foot of the couch of the bigger one is the one right beneath him, where if he wants to speak with him, he doesn't have to get up. He looks at his side and he sees the one lower than him and speaks with him. And now, Hayu Shalish Mitas, if there were three couches, then Godla Mesa Bereish, then the greatest, he sits at the head. Vishenilai, the second one to him is Lamalim and is above him. Ushlishilai, the one third beneath, is Lamalim and is actually the one beneath him. Because if he wants to speak, let him speak with the third one. And if he wants to speak with the one second to him, better than he gets up than to lower the second one beneath the third one who's lower than him. Because if he's going to be beneath him and then you'll have the third one above, it'll be degrading for that person. So better have the second one above and the third one beneath. Halacha Beis, Bala Beis Mavarcha Maitzi. So the homeowner, the host, he makes the bracha v'maitzi, umashma bracha, and first he completes the bracha, v'achkech b'tzi, and then, after the bracha is finished, then he breaks the bread. V'oireich m'bracha b'rechaz amazin. Now the guest, he makes the b'rechaz amazin, k'tei she'bracha b'alabais, because then when he's making the b'rechaz amazin, he could give a blessing to the host. Now v'mhoi kule b'alabais, if they're all from the same household, ha'godol sh'ben b'tzi, so then the greatest of them all, he breaks the bread, and v'humabracha b'rechaz amazin. Now he's the one that makes b'rechaz amazin. Halacha Gimel. Ein abitzei reshar lebitzaya. The one who's breaking the bread, the one who's making hamaitzi, is not permitted to break the bread. Ashiyaviu melech liftin lefnei kolecha be'echad. Until they bring salt or relish in front of every single one, because or else they're going to have to interrupt between the blessing and the eating, because they wouldn't eat it without any salt or any condiment. Elam kenes kavin lechol pasach rebo. Unless they're intending to eat what's literally translated as dry bread, meaning just the bread itself, which is made from refined flour that doesn't need any relish, then you don't have to wait for that. And ve'in b'tzeya, you don't break the bread loy prusa katana nam to tiny pieces. And the reason the shenidik ayin tzari look like you're very stingy loy prusa gedoli yes megbe, and neither in very large pieces more than the size of an egg. And the shenidik kedav tzan, because then he looks like a glutton. But on Shabbos, yesh l'btzay prusa gedoli, should break off large pieces that should be enough for the person for the whole meal. And since you don't do it during the weekday, it doesn't look like a glutton. And ve'ina b'tzeya, you don't break the bread, elam emokam shenis bashal yofa yofa, but from the place where it was baked very well. Halacha dal, mitzvah mena mufcha. The choicest mitzvah is l'btzeya kikar shlema, to break bread on a full loaf. Emoist esham shlema shal sayim, what happens if the full loaf is made out of barley, which is more inferior, uprusa shal chidma, the broken piece is made out of wheat, which is better quality, but it's not a whole. So then what you try to get both together. Manich prusa b'tuch shlema, you put the broken piece beneath the whole one, and then you break from both of them. Kadesh yivtze mechit mem shlema, so that you should break the bread both from wheat and from the complete one. B'shabbos v'im teiv ma'shabbos and yamtev chayiv b'tzeil shteik ha'kochaz, you have to break the bread on two loaves of bread, because it's to have lecha mishnah, because the mundane didn't fall on Shabbos, so they got a double portion on Friday. Neitel shtem b'yod, you take both of them in his hand, u'b'tzei achzman, and he breaks one of those loaves. Halacha hei, ha'b'tzeia, the one who breaks the bread, nisim prusa kolecha lefnei kolecha be'echad, he puts up a piece of the bread in front of every single one. Va'achar neitel b'yod, and the other one takes it with his hand from the table. Ve'ina b'tzei nisim b'yara oichel, but the one who breaks the bread does not put it into the hand of the one who's eating it. Elim kein hoya avol, unless he was a mourner. It's a sign of mourning. And the one who breaks the bread, he stretches out his hand out first for the food, and he gets to eat from the food first. And those who are reclining around are not allowed to taste until the one who makes the bracha tastes. And now additionally, the one who breaks the bread is not allowed to taste the bread until most of the people reclining there finishes answering the amen, because that's the conclusion of his bracha with them. Now, if the one that breaks the bread wants to give a portion honor to his teacher, or for someone that's greater than him in wisdom, And he wants to let him stretch out his hand to eat from the bread first. So then the permission is given to be able to apportion that honor, that person should be the one to take from the bread first. Now, which now it talks about the actual process of the meal itself. So when you have shnayim, we have two people eating together. You have that each one will wait its other, let's say by the serving plate, where one person had to stop eating for something, so the other person stops eating also in that interim. Shleisha, if there's three people, then they don't wait for one person who stops eating. Gomer mehem shnayim. Now, let's say if two of them had stopped, then the third one does stop with them because of proper conduct. Gomer echanem, if only one of them stopped, hashnayim im afsigim, the two don't have to stop for him. Rather, they continue eating until they finish, and they don't have to stop but if two people stop, then the third person will stop eating also. But when there's three people, like we said, eating, they don't wait for each other, but when two of them finish, then the third one should stop with them. If one of them finishes, then the two don't have to stop. They could just continue eating until they're finished. More of a imasich mesuda. We don't talk in the middle of a meal. They shouldn't come to any danger because what happens is that the food, if you're talking, will open up the windpipe and then the food could come into the windpipe instead of the food pipe, and which could be dangerous, cause strangulation. Therefore, in bolem yamatech masnim, they get wine in the middle of the meal. Although generally we would like having one person make the bracha and everyone else answer because of bereva hadras melech, but then kolech ve'echem mevarch lasma. Everyone makes their own bracha because shembeich echad. We can have one person make the blessing, but oino amen b'shas abliya, and the one who's going to answer respond amen at a time when he's swallowing. You have this sakana could come to a situation of danger. More of the imestakim of neichel. You don't look at the face of someone who's eating. Below the manasseh, not the portion that is eating. Shalel vashen, not embarrassing when people look when you're eating, which is a low activity to be looked at and gazed at when you're doing that. Halacha zayin. Hashamish oimel lefnei masubin. The waiter that's standing, attending in front of those reclining by the meal. In oichel imam, he doesn't eat with them. He eats afterwards. But it is a path of compassion, to give into his mouth, every type of dish that is being served over there, to calm down, because he's watching everyone, he's salivating, watching everyone eat with such gusto, so to give him a little bit from each one. Now, if they give him wine, because that's what they're having then, then he makes a blessing on every single cup of wine they give him. Why? Because his drinking doesn't depend on his own will, only on their will. And he doesn't know if they're going to give him another cup, so therefore every time he stops thinking that he's going to have, and every time they give him, would require a new bracha. If one of those reclining around the meal left to go and urinate, so he washes one hand, the one that he used to wipe off the droplets, and then he comes back into where the meal is happening. Now, but let's say he was speaking with his friend, and he spent a long time away, then he has to actually wash both hands, because he removed his consciousness from the meal, and he didn't recall to wash his hands, and watch his hands, and hands are very busy, and it very likely touched an unclean place. So he washes both hands, and then comes back in. Now, if they were sitting around drinking, so what he does is, after he goes out, he comes back in, he sits in his place, and he washes his hands, because when they would drink, they would also eat a little bit, so that it could allow you to drink better, and therefore you have to wash your hands. But if he washes it only over there, and then he turns his face back to the guests, meaning when he washes his hands, he turns his face away from them, because it's not appropriate to wash right there by the table. Now, why here does he, specifically when they were drinking, wash in his place, not outside, like we said, regarding a bread meal? Because maybe they're going to say, oh, he probably didn't wash his hands. Because not really eating for a meal. If they're sitting around eating a bread meal, so everyone knows he washed his hands out. No one would eat without washing their hands because it would be not appropriate. People don't go to the bathroom and not wash their hands. So therefore, here he has to wash his hands in front of everyone because it's just drinking session and not a bread meal. Halacha test. Even if basar chai ala pas, you don't put raw meat on bread so that it shouldn't make the bread repulsive. If imavirim kaisim olay ala pas, you also don't pass over a full cup over the bread because it might spill and also it's going to ruin the bread. You also don't support a plate with a piece of bread because some of the soup might spill on it. And vein zerken as pas, you don't throw the bread because it's bizu yochel, it's degrading the food. Is not pieces of, let's say, fish or meat. Neither food items that don't have peels or shells. Like berries and grapes and figs, meaning even though there's peels, but they're soft. They get ruined. They get disgusting when you throw them. But amutl hamshach hasayayin, you're allowed to draw wine betinaris in pipes by bate chasanim, by the houses of where the grooms are, by the wedding festivities, because it's like a siman tov when you have wine flowing and there's no disgrace or loss because it flows throughout these pipes and it doesn't get ruined. And also v'zorkin lefneim kloyis v'agoyzim, you could also throw in front of them these roasted grains and these nuts b'maisacham in the summer months where there's no mud on the road, so it's not going to get ruined. Avalib b'maisach shom, not in the winter months, nation mustn't, because then it gets into the mud and then it's going to get ruined. It's going to get disgusting. You're not allowed to wash their hands with wine, bein chai, bein mazli, whether it's raw wine or diluted wine. And so do you cannot ruin any other types of food items or mashkin beverages derech bizui in the disgraceful way of beito or a type of way of like rejecting it, kicking it, where it's disgraceful. We have to treat the food in a respectable way. Halochiyud. It's forbidden for guests to take anything that's in front of them on the table, to give it into the hand of the son or the daughter of the host, because maybe because the host, the owner of the meal, is going to be embarrassed. He only has what he put in front of the guest. The guest thinks there's more food, so he's giving it what's in front of him. But the truth is, it comes out the little kids are going to take it, and they're going to leave, and there's not going to be enough food to go around. A person should not send to his friend a barrel of wine with oil floating on the top. Meaning, so even if he lets him know that it's wine, one should not do such a thing. Why? Because maybe a different person is going to send them also a barrel full of wine. But he's going to think, because there he didn't let him know, he's going to think that it's oil, because really there's only a little bit of oil floating on the top. And the problem is, he's going to invite guests because they used to dip their bread into oil and that would be the main food they were eating. He's going to be embarrassed because really it's not oil, it's really wine. Some have the gears the opposite. But either way, anything that's similar to these types of things, that brings the embarrassment of the host, assuming they're forbidden to be done. So whether it be giving the food to the kids or bringing some type of thing that could ultimately embarrass him because he thinks it's one thing and it's really something else, should not be done. Now, look it off regarding the end of the meal. Gomru melechel, when they finish eating, mesalken es shulchan, they remove the table, and they sweep the place where they were eating. And then they wash what's called ma'amachrin, the waters after the meal, because maybe there is some leftover bread that's the size of an olive. It's forbidden to walk on them and also to wash on them. So you have to first sweep the area before you wash your hands. But crumbs that don't have the size of an olive, that you're allowed to actively destroy. Halachid beis. Heviu lehem mayim lenatilam. So they would bring them water to wash for mayim achrayinim. Kol shem mevarach berchas hamazon, whoever is making the berchas hamazon, whoever is benching for the group, who nitli yadav tchila, he washes his hands first. Kedei shel yeshiv agadol, so that the great one, which is generally the one who does the berchas hamazon, should not be sitting b'yadav mezoh hamayis, and that his hands should be filthy ad sheyitol acha until the others wash. Now, shor hasayidin, the other ones who were eating the meal, nitli yadav basayiv, they wash their hands at the end, zeh hazeh, one after the other. And regarding this, of washing the hands by Mayim Achrayinim, you don't give any honor to one who's greater than you. Because we don't give honor when it comes to the filthy hands, not when it comes to crossing bridges, not regarding paths. Only when it's to an entryway that's fit for mezuzah, even if it's exempt, like by a shul. And when you're entering versus when you're exiting, then it's a time for honor. But other times, it's not times for like honoring people in those situations. When they finish washing their hands, and they dry their hands, and they made berchas hamazon, and then they used to bring this type of aromatic spices, this incense that they would put onto hot coals that would give a good smell. So the one that made the berchas hamazon for the group, he's the one that makes the bracha on the incense, because since he started these last brachas, we tell him to finish. And everyone answers amen, and they have that perfume that they smell. If there was wine towards the end of the meal, so they bring a cup that could contain a revius, a quarter of a leg, or yes, a revius, or even more than a revius. They also bring spices. They hold the wine in the right hand, and he holds the aromatic spices in the left hand. And makes the berachas hamazon. Then he makes the blessing on the wine. And then he puts the besam into the right hand, makes the blessing on the besam. Now, if the spices were this aromatic oil, okay, or similar type of things, so What he should do is that he should take whatever oil was on his hands and smear it on the head of the waiter, so that he doesn't go out with his hands smelling like perfume, which is disgraceful to Tamaruk Skala because of suspicion that why is he having this perfume out here in the street. But if the waiter himself was a Tamaruk Skala, who he definitely shouldn't smell like perfume on his head, because then they smear it on the wall, so that they shouldn't go out smelling with this perfume out into the street. Although benching doesn't require a cup of wine, but in Berech Aliyah, Rabbi makes the blessing on wine commending Shema Amar, like the custom that we said in the previous halacha. So tzorch sheyedich kishel bracha mebefnim, because what you do is you hold the cup through benching and then you make a bracha on the wine afterwards. So what you have to do is tzorch sheyedich kishel bracha mebefnim. You have to wash out that cup for the blessing of when you do it on Berech Zamazin. You wash it out on the inside, b'lishta b'isam emchutz, and you wash it out from the outside. V'yimelenu yain chay, and you fill it up with raw wine. When you get up the bracha neidelcha, which is the blessing for the land of Eretz Yisrael, then you put in a little water into it, so that it should be sweet for drinking, because their wine was very strong and it was raw, and you have to dilute it to make it drinkable. But the reason why they waited till then is because to show the praise of Eretz Yisrael, that the wine is so strong, and you have to dilute it with water. One doesn't talk when there is the cup for the benching. Everyone's quiet until they finish the benching and the bracha on the wine, and they drink, and only then should they talk after that is done.